It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, it is Dom time. We're scheduled to speak with Delaware County Commissioner McBlain, who is going to leave office because just of this nonsense. How did Delaware County get to that point? Who is it that moved in there? I get Montgomery County. We've been charting that for a while, where these progressives out there suddenly want to put in more. They don't have enough early election offices. I'm telling you, we are in the center of the universe of the suburban progressive nonsense with Montgomery County and now Delaware County. And we'll get to the bottom of it with him. You get in at 855-839-1210. That's the way to get on board. Side question today. The portal is up. People flocking there at Love Park.
Big crowd. Surprising.
Big crowd. Yeah, you're able to non-verbally hook up with three other cities in the world. Let's go to attorney, I believe he's an attorney, when we spoke before, and I'm not sure if he's the only commissioner out there in Delaware County, how many they have, well, we'll ask him, that runs things across the board. John McBlain is back with us on Talk Radio 1210. John, welcome back. Thanks for joining us, and no going in. I'm going to talk you out of resigning. We need you on that wall, buddy. You can't be leaving. Come on now.
Well, thanks, Dom. It's good to be back on the show.
How many commissioners now in this ruling body in Delaware County?
Well, Delaware County is a little different than the other counties. We have five members of county council, and they're all okay. Democrats at this point. I used to be on the council, and I served two terms, and we're term limited, so I was not able to run again. But we have a three-member board of elections where two of the members are appointed by the council, and they're Democrats. And there's a requirement that one member be nominated by the chairman of the minority party. So I'm the minority Republican on the board.
All right. So, John, you are resigning from that. And again, we need you maybe more on that. You know, elections don't come around that often. But when they're there, what have they done recently and what's their rationale that's making you want to quit this?
Well, Dom, my Irish ire got up when at a special meeting on October the 11th, board voted to have what they call voter services centers in the city of Chester and in Upper Darby Township and in one small town out in the western part of the county called Chester Heights. And, you know, in my view, in my opinion, this was nothing more than a get-out-the-vote effort in highly concentrated Democrat areas in the county. These voter services centers are satellite offices for the election board where people can come in and, you know, do whatever they would be able to do in the main media office. And but my problem with them was that, you know, Delaware County had these in 2020 during the pandemic and when there were long lines at the media courthouse. But since then, We have not had voter services centers. We have not needed them. No one has requested that we have them. And practically speaking, you know, you need more staff, more equipment to staff all these things. And none of that happened. And this year, you know, it was raised briefly at a meeting in June. You know, the idea of perhaps having voter services centers, and it was suggested to put it in Upper Darby Township. And I asked, well, are we going to let all municipalities, you know, request and have these things? Why Upper Darby Township, which their township building is literally on the edge of the county? It's, you know, certainly closer to West Philadelphia than it is closer to most of all of Delaware County. And the reason at the time was, well, you know, we're looking at where they have error rates, you know, where people would need to come in and cure their ballots. But the election director at that point said, we're just in exploration mode. And he said he had apprehensions, you know, about the voter services centers. You know, and at the time I said, well, you know, we should have some balance to it. There should be, you know, if we're going to have them, you know, we should have it with some geographic balance. And that was it. And I look back on the record. We discussed it for a total of 8.5 minutes in June. And then there was a 1 minute discussion of it at the August meeting. And then a 30-second discussion of it at the September meeting, where, again, it, you know, really it's just a, we're continuing to look at these things, but with no specifics. Nobody came back with analysis saying we need them in, you know, this town or that town because this is where the highest error rates are. And then we were going to have a special meeting on October the 11th. The reason for the special meeting was for polling place changes,
right?
Which occur normally, you know, as you get closer to the election. But what happens to pop up onto that agenda is voter services centers. And I come to the meeting, and the room is packed. You know, the Democratic Party has the meeting packed. The League of Women Voters, which is just an extension of the Democratic Party in Delaware County, they've got a dozen or more members there. The place is packed with everybody speaking in favor of these voter services centers. With people like state representatives, you know, who were there coming up, suggesting things and having details about the voter services center that I knew nothing about.
And you're on the Board of Elections, yes.
And so I'm on the Board of Elections.
So, John, the deeper thing is this, and I wanted to probe with you because you have quite an historical bend here. Delaware County, the Trump people think, is fertile ground. You know, they go to Aston, places like that. So It's still there, to your point about being in certain areas, still highly a number of moderate Democrats and Republicans. Why is there no outcry or not enough here? What's happened? Who's moved in that they can do outrageous things like this, which are clearly at the 11th hour just trying to help their vote? And again, there's a transparency issue, as you know. We have the same thing going on in Montgomery County with a $143,000 vehicle going to prisons now for their vote. What happened in Delaware County, John? Is the balance that much Democrats now?
It is. It's shrunk a little bit, but we're, you know, we're up to about a 60,000 vote difference in Delaware County, and when the you know, when they redrew the congressional lines and the state legislative lines, I'll give whoever did it for the Democrats credit, you know, because they you know, they really you know, did it in such a way as to basically to try to eliminate all Republican seats. As you know, we've got Craig Williams as the sole Republican still left. But for the congressional seat, there's a difference of about 150,000 Democrats to Republicans, which is, you know, something you're never going to be able to
make up. But let me ask you that. Where did this come from, though? I mean, for listeners that are new or even some of my producers, they don't know that at one point Delaware County was as Republican, I would argue, as Philadelphia was Democrat, right? The war border. I know I'm going back.
Yeah. No.
Who moved in? Where are they coming from? Or what the heck happened there?
Well, I think you had a large influx of people moving out from the city, from Philadelphia, you know, to Delaware County to take advantage of the better school districts.
Right.
The particular town I live in, Aldenboro, which is a small borough of 5,000 people, I mean, we went from, in the 90s, at least 2-1 Republican to now it's 2-1 Democrat. And it's really people moving out for the school districts. People were so Philadelphia people that I spoke to were so disgusted with the Philadelphia school district that they moved out here for that reason. And even districts like William Penn, that doesn't excel, is better than the Philadelphia school district. That was a big reason. And then I think there's just been a change nationally. I mean, where do you lose all that? Well, I mean, you know, you take a look at women voters across the northern tier of Delaware County, just are not supporting Republican candidates.
Is abortion the issue?
I think that's a huge issue. Mm-hmm. You know, I think with the dissolution of institutions, I mean, you can look at, you know, look over the last 20 years and institutions like, you know, organized churches, mm-hmm. you know, media, newspapers, local clubs, you know, all those types of things have taken a back seat, and social media has taken over. So, I think that that's
yeah.
really, you know, the influx of voters from Philadelphia, particularly minority voters, and the change in women's attitudes in more of the well-to-do towns. And you see that in Montgomery and
Chester
County as well.
You know? Yeah, exactly. Well, John, though, the bottom line here, you know, maybe after a cooling off period, because, again, your expertise, institutional history, et cetera, is needed there, because thank God this is a statewide election. We got to win the state. So how does it look? Is there an encouraging sign in Delaware County this time? Or do you remember in the last presidential election? I would assume Biden did very well. A lot of Irish voters there. I would still think Irish Catholics and right. I mean, you know, there was a connection.
I think that, you know, to me, this is more like a 2016 election that, you know, no matter what your view of Donald Trump is, you know, you either love him or you hate him, you know. And but in 2020, I think a lot of people looked at Joe Biden and said, he's Uncle Joe, you know.
Right.
He's but you don't have that now. Vice President Harris is, you know, especially over the last month, is, I think, viewed almost as negatively as Hillary Clinton was in 2016. And certainly, you know, as I don't have to tell you, you know, Donald Trump underperforms in polls in Pennsylvania and elsewhere. And his position now is certainly much better than it was, you know, four right. years and even 8 years ago. I know that lawn signs don't vote, but, you know, out here in Delaware County, I mean, you know, I see a lot of Trump signs in areas or places or properties that I've never seen them.
Like where? where are you seeing them, John?
Really all over. What strikes me is, I mean, I guess if you're in politics long enough, you know where the signs are on the lawns. And here, even in places like Springfield or Alden where I live, I mean, the Trump signs are popping up on lawns where, you know, there were never signs before. You could say the same thing for Harris. There's certainly, if you drive through Swarthmore, there's not a shortage of Harris signs. But I think here, you know, like I said, it's my opinion, Dom, that I really do believe that, again, these voter services centers were something that were way on the back burner, and that I don't know who rang the bell, you know, behind the scenes.
Right.
It wasn't the election staff. I don't think it's the I don't think it's the professional election staff, but somebody rang the bell and they said, we need a get out the vote effort because things are lagging. In Delaware County, there's less than half the number of mail-in ballot applications that there were in 2020. So I think somebody, you know, just thought that there was a lag, and they thought that they needed to do this, and that's where it was. I'll give you an example. At the September meeting, where, again, it was talked about for 30 seconds, these voter services centers, I was standing there with the election director after the meeting, just chit-chatting, and the attorney for the Democratic Party walked up to the two of us, and she said, "The chairwoman of the Democratic Party has the list of volunteers to staff the Voter Services Center ready for you."
Wow.
I mean, my teeth almost fell out of my head.
Yeah.
And to his credit, the election director said, "I'm not going to use any partisan volunteers, you know, at voter services centers if the board does it." I mean, to, you know, like I said, to his credit. But the fact that we hadn't even at that point in time publicly talked for 15 minutes total over a period of months about voter services centers, and you, here you have the attorney for the party coming up saying, "I've got, you know, we've got the volunteers ready to staff these things."
Well, look, we realize what you're up against, Sean, and just exposing this publicly, I'm glad you got a forum, a big platform to do that. I do hope you'll stay in touch, and again, I hope you'll, you know, once this dies down, stay on there, because your knowledge base and your tenacity on this is necessary, John. Thank you. And again, thanks for coming on today.
Thanks for having me, Dom.
You're welcome. John,
all right.
John McBlaine, you see what we're up against. This is like the Montgomery County thing here. They haven't even proposed fully to do the get out the vote centers for Democrats in Chester. And they already have the list of volunteers they're handing him in a meeting even before they voted to do any of this stuff. All right. That's what we're up against. But take a look at where this is headed. All this tells you, you heard what he said. They don't have half the mail-in ballot they had in 2020. Now, are they all going to show up on election day? No, they know they're not. That's why they're pressing here. They're under pressure with just 2 weeks left to go. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. You get in. Coming up, Kamala Harris flip-flops on fracking again. This is a double flip-flop. It's like an Olympic sport here.
Flip-flop.
Yeah, her spokesperson got kind of rattled and spilled her guts to Politico about this, thinking she wasn't saying anything about climate. We'll get to that. And this forgiving of 44,000 teachers and others of their student loan debt because they're public servants. I'll give you the details on this. How is it we're having people make more money being paid for by people that don't make less money? How is that equity somehow or another in the minds of progressives? 855-839-1210.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, time to your Dano show. Welcome in, 855-839-1210. That's how you get in. AT&T and Verizon Wireless. All you have to do is push #1210. You know, I've said many times, I used to talk about this, Dan, even before you started with me. It was the grand thing. How the hell have these suburbs changed to this degree? And you just heard John McBlaine say, well, Delaware County, I can think off the top of my head, probably 10 of them that are seen as really good school districts versus Philadelphia. They move out there. And what the hell do? They bring the same thing that wrecks stuff with them, their values. The ones that are progressive or liberal with more money and more education, they come to the suburbs and they pollute that. That's what's happening in Montgomery County, and Delaware County is probably right there with it. Bucks County is the holdout, and to a lesser degree, Chester County, I think. And this is the story of this national election. Think about that. Trump, I told you this Celtics poll today, which is not a concern. It's not Rasmussen or something. Saying he's ahead by 11 points among Latinos. He's got 17% and gaining of African-American voters. It's the people we were just talking about here that are in surrounding Philadelphia that are, you know, the counterforce to something that's happening, transforming the Republican Party. It's amazing to me. Are the suburbs as good as they were? The, you know, the stability, those things that we look toward, people coming from the city? I don't think so. All right. The Harris campaign now has flip-flopped back on fracking. I see Lenny calling in on climate. Lenny, I'm coming to you in a second here. Their climate czar goes with Politico and says, well, she's not going to get rid of fracking, but she's not going to expand fossil fuels, meaning she's going to keep the same regulations holding things up right now on natural gas, et cetera, that Biden has done, and I suspect maybe even more. And that's the one surefire thing that's going to help lower inflation. Energy costs have soared overall in the Biden-Harris administration. So this is the flip-floppery again. She knows she can't get away with attacking fracking head-on. She can't go back to her previous business or anything like. But this is her person speaking for the administration, the Harris administration to be, saying, well, she's not going to expand on fossil fuels. Translation, essentially what Biden's been doing. So are people in Pennsylvania going to get this stuff? Or is abortion just, that's it, I want to abort. Where do I sign up? Which party? All right, let's go to Lenny and Pittman. Lenny, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Lenny, afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. I'd like to expose something else today, and this is this climate change crap and the EVs and all that. That I watched on the news this morning where we could actually set a record today of going over 80. You know where the record was set, Dom? 1920.
Yeah.
So 104 years later, we still get 80-degree temperatures. I guess the Waltons had EVs back in the day, huh?
No.
I mean, really, stop it. Just stop it with the lying.
Yeah, it is, Lenny. And whatever we say, if it's cold, if it's hot, it doesn't matter. This is their religion. This is what they're wedded to. And as I just said, their spokesperson messes up today and says she's going to curtail fossil fuels. That's the big news. I mean, it shows exactly what we know that she's about.
I just find it hard to believe that the joke of for 3.5 years was, boy, if something happens to Joe, we'd get Kamala. Well, now you got her? Are you you're kidding me? Really? Either the American people are stupid, or this is all the polls. It's just got to be a joke. Well, it's got to be one.
Thank you, Lenny. Thank you very much. Well, look, it's driven by two factors here. One, antagonism toward Trump on the other side. I mean, Trump is the most polarizing figure, arguably, that we've seen. You can't name somebody else that has this level of devotion and this level of hatred. I don't know of anyone that I've ever covered or anything that we've seen. So that's one part of it. The other is the abortion thing, that still we're going down this path, and Trump's the last person in the world is going to be for a national ban on abortion. I mean, we talked about Liz Cheney signed the amicus brief for Dobbs. For the Supreme Court decision. She's pro-life. She's out there with Kamala Harris. She's pro-life to the extreme degree, Liz Cheney. And yet, going out there, and again, I think the antagonism, a lot of it is the Cheneys, they want to be in these unending wars. And they felt dissed by Trump. They don't like his style. They're the old guard Republicans. That's the other factor we're seeing here. But this is big news, though, that the Harris climate person in an interview with Politico says that she's not going to allow any expansion of fossil fuels. And that means what Biden has done here, curtailing this, holding all this up. So it's not an outright ban on fracking, but the lull or pause here that's going on is also crippling. We're never going to get out of inflation. The inflationary pressures are always going to be there. This is a major mistake today. It gets us back to here in Pennsylvania, what people are going to think about this, at least if the word gets out there enough. All right, it's 855-839-1210. I want to talk about one more thing that's Pennsylvania-centric. And again, Dan and I have debated a little bit on this at time, a little bit on the side, but this is a little bit different. The Federal Student Loan Forgiveness Program, more than $4.5 billion in new student debt relief, is being given to 44,000 Pennsylvania teachers and other public service workers who will receive debt forgiveness topping $3.2 billion since 2021 for the Pennsylvania buyer. So this is just in Pennsylvania. And it's under here's what's flawed with this. It's under this notion that the Biden administration has picked out certain people, certain occupations, as more worthy than others to have this forgiven. In other words, if you decide to go into teaching, you're better and you should get this forgiven. I can make an easy argument. Someone that starts a small business and hires people, you mean to say they are not doing as good of a social duty, creating jobs? How is it that teachers are the ones that are getting this benefit? 44,000 Pennsylvania teachers and other public service workers will get this loan forgiveness, $3.5 billion here. It's triggered around this benefit plan. I think Brendan Boyle, the congressman from Northeast Philadelphia, is one of the biggest architects. Earlier this year, veteran teacher Michelle Gibb shared her story of drowning in $80,000 in student loan debt, being unable to get a reprieve because her loan services were constantly changing. Now, this is the woman that decided to get all these higher ed degrees. This wasn't undergrad. If you remember, she determined that as a teacher, she was going to do that. This is some of the people we're talking about. Where's the fairness here, where we have people that are making less money funding people that are making more money, or people that made a decision to get a master's degree? I mean, we're not just talking about undergraduate stuff. And here's the biggest culprit of all. The very people ideologically that are connected to these teachers and others and Biden forgiving them. Who is that? Big college. The ones that are excessively getting away with charging people more and more and more every day. They make out. The people that have gone into the, quote, right professions, they get forgiven. And then who has to pay for this? Those that didn't go to college, maybe. Those that didn't make those career choices. So how in the world, look, I started in teaching, but do I think the teacher choice is superior, is more noble than these others? Based on what? Why don't these other professions? Who are we to say, well, that's a more noble profession? The teacher is. Why? I mean, look at some of the people that are teachers after they get tenure. That's more noble? I don't think so. And I've been inside this a lot over the years. This is different than just the debate over forgiving student loan debt. This is about particular occupations. And then again, it's also about big college. Why are Republicans so ineffectual? Even Trump, at tying this to these universities who make out by having all this forgiven, and they keep on upping the rate. All right, here's how you get in. 855-839-1210. Today's side question, coming off this portal, someone or something that will not fly in Philadelphia. Dan, any good ones on YouTube today? Or Twitter?
Twitter's got a great one. How about Leslie Fishapine? Putting an end to savesies would never fly in Philadelphia.
Leslie. You know what, Dan? It's one of the biggest embarrassments as a South Philadelphian, which I always will be. I was talking to somebody today about this. I remember the first time I had somebody allegedly from South Philly calling in defending being against the savesies. I was like, you're not from South Philly. Get the hell out of South Philly. You got to be kidding me.
Co-founder of Boys Latin checking in, David P. Hardy, says end a government-run educational monopoly.
Well, you know what, Dan? That guy is one of my heroes, David Hardy. He really is. Boys Latin, what he's done. And I believe, because I met him there, Dan, you know he's a big fan of Amon Brown.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. And I see it. Star quality there, ultimately.
Amon, check your texts.
Yeah. Hey, come on, Amon. Yeah, what
the heck's
going
on? I'm trying to get you on the show.
Come on. Yeah, come on, Amon. Hey, David.
I've been being left on red. What's going on here?
David, hit the guy. Tell him to call Henry. Come on, Amon. We want you to come on the show. All right, 855-839-1210. You can, David Hardy, Dan, let's talk about it after the show. He might be a guy. Talk about that. You know, I have
be great,
just,
yeah.
Yeah, I just have unbelievable respect for him. He is a guy that has done just amazing work. Boys Latin is a testament to that. All right, 855-839-1210, you get in. So is the teaching profession and some of these others, are they more noble than your profession? 44,000 forgiven around this. And this one woman really frosts me. She's the one that went and had all these men. Come on. Do we have to pay for a PhD if you're a teacher? Why? All right. Hey, oh, Sean Parnell in the audience. I forgot. Yeah, coming to your calls here. Right. Sean Parnell, Mount Rushmore, when we win Pennsylvania, he's going to give you an unbelievable update on the mail-in ballot numbers. That's coming up. Hey, this NBA season, you can make every play, pass, and point mean more with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. Check out newer bets like the number of dunks, assists, or three-pointers in the next 3 minutes. It doesn't matter if you tap into FanDuel before the game starts or after it has already started. Just visit FanDuel.com/Dom for your chance to score $300 in bonus bets with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 1210 WPHT. You have to be 21 plus, present in Pennsylvania. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, Dom Giordano show. He's part of my own personal Mount Rushmore when we win Pennsylvania. That would be Jim Worthington, the fundraiser, Scott Presler out there on the vote, Linda Kearns, the election integrity, and Captain Sean Parnell in charge and getting great success with the mail-in ballot. Captain, welcome back to Philadelphia.
Hey, Dom, what's happening, my friend?
Yeah, you're part of our own Mount Rushmore here. Congratulations on where, I mean that, when we win, these are the people that I see in our area and statewide that are doing it rather than just the big national figures. I mean, you each have carved out something special. Before we get to the numbers, which are encouraging, I don't know if you saw this survey that said in the early voting, Sean, that these were engaged voters, meaning not people that don't vote often. And that tells me a lot of people are hearing you and hearing what we're saying that are Republicans that usually vote on Election Day, and they've decided to bank the vote that we go after the disengaged voters.
Yeah, I mean, listen, and then we initially set out with this plan now, wrote this plan almost 18 months ago, Dom. So this isn't something that we stood up overnight. We planned for this for a year and a half and slowly, you know, built out this plan and our infrastructure to support it. We initially went into this plan intending to target low propensity voters, right? Get them on the permanent list, make sure that we give ourselves a solid floor so that not just it benefits in presidential cycles, but in midterms and in off cycles as well. You know, it just makes things a lot easier. But what we found, and consider this during 2020, and for you and for all the listeners out there, Trump's margin in 2020 in an election that had a litany of different issues was 80,000 votes, right? They pulled out all the stops right to get 80,000 votes, right? Now, what we learned through our research and the data was that 120,000, 3 of 4 voters and 4 of 4 voters simply did not vote. Those are our highest propensity people. Now, that number eclipsed the margin. So what we've been doing thus far to great effect is not only targeting low prop voters and adding them to the perm list, but we're also adding high propensity voters, as you just said, to the permanent list. And as of today, listen to this, my friend, we crossed 200,000 first-time mail-in voters added to the permanent list, 224,000. I mean, we've already exceeded our goal, and we got 2 weeks to go.
What do you say that has been due to, Sean? I mean, these are the engaged voters. That's the most encouraging thing to me.
Yeah. Well, listen, I mean, so we initially came into this, Dom, trying to say, okay, the Democrats had a million person lead with banked mail-in votes in 2020. A million. We said, okay, if we can winnow that, we can close the gap, make it maybe 800,000 in 2024. This is outcome determinative. It gives us a real good shot to win. But not only that, I can't, for the life of me, Dom, it looks like the Democrats are going to only go into Election Day with about 500,000, if I had to guess, right, 500,000 vote mail-in ballot vote lead, maybe 600,000 worst-case scenario on Election Day. And let me tell you, that's not a million. We've significantly cut into their margin. And frankly, consider this. From last Friday, from Friday to Friday of last week, that seven-day period, during the same period in 2020, okay, we were down by 35,000 requests during that same period in 2020. In 2022, we were down by 28,000 requests during the same seven-day period. In 2024, guess what? We're winning by 4,000 requests.
It's stunning.
Now, listen to this. You can only request a ballot for a couple more days. So there's no mathematical path, none. Even if we didn't return or request a single vote, there's simply no way the Democrats will have a million vote lead going into Election Day. No way. And so, I'm just excited. I think this is a great thing.
And it is. And you have cleared the way here. We're like, you stormed the beaches of Normandy. All we have to do is the cleanup, Sean. Because all we have to do now is get people to turn out and vote on that day, which historically these people can't wait to do it. So we just talked to a guy in Delaware County, really plugged in. He said the Democrats there only have about half. So what they've done, Sean, out of the blue, they've set up three special election offices in places like Chester, Pennsylvania, et cetera.
Of course.
Yeah, this is what they're going to do. But it indicates what they're sensing, too. It's not just us with rose-colored glasses. They're sensing the very same thing. And the difference is your great work, the shrewdness of it being on it, and also it's Harris, not Biden, this time around.
It's such a great point. Let me also say, I'm responsible for this. I'm responsible for everything that happens or fails to happen in the team. But I am a very small part of a very competent group of just, you know, great Republicans who care about the future of this country. So I'm a very small, but I've got an amazing, amazing team around me. But if you're running statewide as a candidate, I've done it. I know what it's like. At some point, if you think that the top of the ticket is going to sink you, you've got a phase line where you say, okay, I've got to discard the top of the ticket here and try to save myself. And that's why in every media market in the state of Pennsylvania, outside of Scranton in Philadelphia, Bob Casey is running pro-Trump advertisements on television. So that tells you that if for a Senate candidate to distance himself from a sitting Democrat president and the actual Democrat nominee, it tells you that they see a trend in their internals that is simply not reversible. Now, I'm not saying that Kamala can't win and that we shouldn't sprint to the finish. Complacency kills. We absolutely should not take a single thing for granted in campaign like we're 10 points down. But when you talk about the mail-in numbers that we just laid out and all of the other factors, when I say Pennsylvania closes late and fast, you look at independents, who a Republican in this state cannot win without. And when you look at internal polling and you talk about leaners, leaners are basically, if you don't know this, like your undecided voters, you have people that are undecided. You basically push them a little bit and say, okay, I see you're undecided, but if you had to vote today, who would you vote for? 2-1, those independents are breaking Republican, which is why you've seen McCormick take the lead in Atlas and in Trafalgar, great public polling institutions, in the last week or so, and why you've seen Trump expand his lead in Pennsylvania. So things could not be better right now.
Absolutely. Well, Sean, let's bring it home. Where do people go then to get that mail-in ballot? Encourage others to do it. There still is a bit of time here. What do they do?
SkipTheLinePA.com. You've got a couple days left. Go fill out a ballot application, request a ballot, And then we chase like we've never chased before, my friend.
Well, look, I want a team in this foxhole with Scott Presler and Sean Parnell. I don't know. I have to see the Democrat duo that has been through this. I don't think they've been shot at as much as you have been, for example. So, Sean, we'll get you back on again to encourage after this and to chase those down. But thank you. And again, 18 months in advance, this is all coming together.
Yeah, you got it, my friend. I'll be there for you when you need me.
Thank you, Sean Parnell. All right, guys, Chris and Mark, I want your calls next. Got to take a quick break here, though. I'm coming to you as I anticipated. And Dan, we may have to put up the bat signal for Jim Worthington. He was going to buy food 5 to 7. If these reports are correct, that the McDonald's over in Trevo's is under a lot of pressure now because of having Trump there. I don't go to McDonald's, but I'm going to make a trip over there today. We'll encourage you to do that if this holds up. And I have to take Dan's honor. I don't know if Henry's as big of a fast food as Dan. I think Dan strikes me as a bigger fast food consumer.
Yeah, no, I've never been huge on fast food. I like McDonald's, but I was thinking about yesterday. Like, I probably only had
Henry. He seems like a guy that'd be big on Chipotle.
I like
Chipotle. Yeah, I could see it.
I've had that probably
a weekly trip to Chipotle.
Yeah. I'd say maybe once a month.
Okay. And Dan, they see him coming in fast food. They roll down that window. All right, here he comes.
All right. Mr. Throw Stones and Glass Houses, let's go to Olive Garden once a week, Ro.
Wait a minute. Ooh. It's the lunchtime. It's a soup and salad.
It's There's fast food. It's the
that.
Same thing.
Oh, God.
You just sit inside a shelter while you eat it.
We come back all the way to Olive Garden constantly.
I love Olive Garden. I'm just saying, don't throw stones if you're living in a
chain restaurant the same thing as fast food?
No, we'll get to that, guys. Let me get to Chris and Mark coming up. Brief break, and then we're coming to these guys here. Can I talk about Martin Water in a little bit? Let's get a brief break going. We got an update on the McDonald's over in Trevo's on Talk Radio 1210.
To our democracy, some might argue that the threat is even greater today.
And he sided with Trump to end NAFTA and put tariffs on China to stop them from cheating.
Nicely played. What a turnaround. Thank you, guys. So that's Bob Casey Jr. In September, now in October, he sides with Trump. Threat to democracy. Yeah, I love that Trump on trade. You know, Hitler's so great on trade. He's on the ropes. He is. Let's go to Chris in Southampton, though, where close by where the McDonald's is that Trump appeared the other day. All right, Chris, you've been by the McDonald's. What can you tell us?
Yeah, good afternoon, Dom. I woke up this morning and there was some buzz on social media about boycotting the McDonald's I saw. So I said to a couple buddies of mine, hey, let's go over and, you know, patronize the McDonald's because we wanted to show our support for him having Trump there. And when we were standing in line, we noticed a security guard, and he had, you know, bulletproof vest, gun, cuffs, everything. We thought, oh, maybe the guy's on lunch break, you know, grabbing McDonald's. And then we saw two more guys come in, and we overheard them talking and the staff talking. They were there because of threats that were made to the McDonald's for having Trump there. And the company is called Strategic Security. I think they're based out of New York. Because they had patches on their hats and their jackets. But we were there about 11:45, and two of them were out in the parking lot, and then one was inside the store just kind of, you know, standing around and walking around, which we thought that was pretty surprising because it was a pretty positive turnout on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Chris, thank you for that. Let's see if the Inquirer and others are reporting it. We're talking to Jim Worthington, who brokered the whole thing. You probably heard yesterday on the show.
Yep.
And he says he spoke to him, definitely blowback. He'll be putting out something today, Dan, he sends in this, to send support his way. Maybe we can, too. So, Dan, if you just want to tell him, we'll wait for his word, and then I don't want to jump the gun willy-nilly here. When he wants to do something to show support, Chris, then we'll put it out. We'll do it. We'll have more on somehow.
Like a 60 secretary taking the memo.
I'll just say to listeners, if you're hungry, then you stop by and just order something and, you know, get more money coming into that place so he doesn't see any type of negative effects because obviously it's not warranted. And I'll just end it by saying Trump 2024, we got to win this thing, as we all know.
Is that going to be like an Eagles chant? Now feel free to spell out Trump like Eagles here on it.
P-R-U.
So hopefully we'll hear from Jim. He's working up something on this. So I would say to go there, Lower Southampton on Street Road. You knew this was coming. Let's see if they report this fairly. Linda Kearns is coming up, our election integrity czar. I'll let her set it up here, what's happened. But it is related to the story we told you about an arrest being made of this guy who is a Democrat, or at least has voted Democrat, theater manager. And he told people putting together training for poll watchers that he was going to kill one of them and skin him alive. And to the credit of what's happening here, he has been arrested, according to the Inquirer. That's a good thing. We have to do this with more people. I don't care what side they're on. If you're making death threats, if you're making threats, that's illegal. You cannot threaten people in this manner. Let me go to Mark in Feasterville, Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Mark, good afternoon.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Good, Mark.
Long time listener, first time caller, though, a little bit nervous, but I was compelled to call because my wife just called me. She was at the McDonald's probably about 45 minutes ago because we don't eat fast food a lot, but we decided these are going to be our cheat days and we're going to go over there. We were at the McDonald's on Sunday. It was awesome. And she basically told me exactly what Chris just said, with the armed guards, with people getting threats. Actually, the only people that you can talk to is the manager. She wanted to go in to tell the manager how we're going to support McDonald's, how we're going to go there all the time. This owner, I can't pronounce his name, but he's just so courageous for doing this. And maybe, hopefully, you can get the word out to Jim Worthington, because people need to go there. We need to support him, because when my wife called me, and we live in Feasterville, this was very, very upsetting. So I tried to get my nervousness away and give you a call.
Well, Mark, you don't know how I appreciate this. This is exactly what talk radio is about, grouping together around something like this. And we saw it coming. What we want to do, and I know Jim Worthington, we've been in contact with him, Mark. We want to give this guy a net benefit out of all this for being courageous and doing the right thing as an American, a former president, a president-to-be, wants to come and highlight this.
Absolutely.
Of course you should do it, but it took a lot for him to do it. And I don't know if he's an immigrant or not, but I know there's some history there. He's doing all the right things, and he shouldn't have to live under this.
Absolutely not. I mean, just very, very upsetting. By the way, my wife and I, we voted 3 weeks ago, so our vote is in for Trump. Very happy about that. And I'm on the road, but I'm on my way back to my office. I mean, I am going to stop at that McDonald's on my way back.
Good for you, Mark.
And continue to support them.
And I appreciate you making that first-time call very much.
Yeah, I had to let you know.
Thank you, Mark. Glad you did.
For taking the call.
Yeah. So to wrap it up, we'll take more calls on this if you're headed that way. It's over there on Street Road in Lower Southampton. It's East Street Road. We'll talk with Jim Worthington when he's ready. I think he's putting out a statement on this, encouraging people. He was going to pay for it 5 to 7 o'clock. I think it was the guys was ready to go away, so Jim's going to pay for it. But I think it was the week after next. So maybe that will be moved up given what we're facing here. Imagine armed guards apparently there at the McDonald's, all because Trump comes there. And the other side wants to tell us about how America has changed. All right. 855-839-1210. You get on board. We're going to talk with Linda Kearns next. You can jump in now and hit us on the side question. Hey, my friends at Martin Water Conditioning are celebrating their 51st year with their annual anniversary sale. Now through the end of October, save on better water for your entire family. We've enjoyed crystal clear drinking water in our home for years, thanks to Martin Water Conditioning. This is a great opportunity for you to do the same. We love it. Water tastes great. Tea or just plain drinking water. The Martin Water Conditioning family is incredible to work with. Nobody, you'll see it, is as passionate about water. So save up to $500 on select systems for your home. You want to improve your drinking water? Martin is offering $100 off their Connecticut K5 reverse osmosis system. If you purchase a water softener, you may be eligible for a free Kenix salt monitor, which is worth over $150. Special 18 and 48 month financing is available to those who qualify. Save now through the end of October. These deals are mutually exclusive and won't last long. Visit martinwater.com for more details. Schedule that free. It's a free water test today. martinwater.com.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.